hungry for adventure?
Do you crave hilarious and perilous tabletop campaigns?
Don't bother rolling perception, pal. We've got you covered.
Behold, Dungeons and Doritos, Nerdy Show's epic tabletop audio drama, a cinematic serial of mayhem-filled, morally questionable quests at DungeonsandDoritos.com.
The following program, Flame On, is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Spandex makes me horny. Drag is the new spandex.
Hey everyone, it's Oral. I'm here with Pat.
What's up?
And you're here for another recap of All-Stars Season 3 of Drag Race. They call it Drag Race this season because we're literally being dragged to the finish line.
We are the Roxy Andrews of All-Stars 3. We are. Not Chi-Chi. We are.
Someone please isolate that shade. That shade sound effect they use, because I need it. I need it so badly. So, I don't want to do this. I'm not interested.
I know. It's gotten a bit tedious.
So.
But we love Drag Race, mm-hmm. So we are here.
We are here.
And we are sticking this
listeners.
Out.
We love you. Wait a minute. Bron left all that vodka. Maybe I can get through this. Let's be realistic. I'm just going to drink the whiskey. I'm literally going to switch to whiskey.
Nice.
But before we start, shall we break bread and remember the saint who sacrificed herself on the pyre? You know, she only needs like one more miracle to be beatified.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
I mean, turning every challenge into like a lip sync for a legacy, resurrecting Morgan McMichaels from the grave. Now, really, all she needs to do, her image needs to show up on some toast or like a makeup removal cloth.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I like that.
Bendela, use that as tea towels. Use it as tea towels. Girl, I'm helping you out. You don't even have to cut me a check. I will be just happy enough to know that I came up with the greatest idea.
That's brilliant. I love it. I love it.
So Ben sends herself home to the shock of RuPaul and all of the judges, because she was pretty much the front runner, the forerunner. She was her own John the Baptist. I'm going to keep this religious iconography going.
I like it.
So, I'm sorry about the pop. It wasn't. I'm just bored. I'm bored with Drag Race. So, she leaves this like really empowering note. I think it's like the Ten Commandments or something.
I'm pretty sure you just split the mirror and see when you just carry it around with you at that point.
And, you know, they all talk about, oh my gosh, I can't believe she left. I really wish she would have stayed. Oh, that means one of us could be guaranteed the win now.
One of us, other people here, might actually win this show.
So you think that they would be a little hungrier, that this challenge would be a little more entertaining, but we digress.
Some of them did take that opportunity.
They did.
Okay, two of them took that opportunity and ran with it.
For my best squirrel friend's wedding bridesmaid.
Dragsmaids. Oh, yeah, I don't know. Whoever the fuck came up with that title needs to be fired.
I do like Aaron Frokovich. I think that was a funny pun.
Sharon Frokovich, Octavia. Because every time that came on, I just wanted to go, Octavia.
Mm-hmm.
And and that was about it. Because the other ones, Lala and the Queen and Beige Swan.
Those, y'all just didn't have anything.
Nope.
And that's, I think that's the thing, is that I love Black Swan. That's a really fucked up movie, but I like Perfect Blue, which is a really fucked up movie. And it's the same thing. But having strong images for, or archetypes for the queens to portray would have been better. You know, it's the difference between the acting challenge for, like, the Golden Age Hollywood one they did. Whatever happened to Baby JJ, like, that was funny because it showcased, what's her name? Sometimes you have to put like a bit in her mouth to make her go a certain way. Oh, also wins, like, she's gonna be like the main event in the Kentucky Derby. Alyssa Edwards, there we go.
Oh, that's horrible.
But she's great. But she was fantastic in that challenge. Yeah. I think that was great.
No, that movie challenge in All Stars 2, which we were at roughly about the same point. They had six at that point. But those movie adaptations, sequels, whatever they were calling them, worked well. And you had a scene partner and it was very focused.
Yeah.
This was like whatever we could get out of the bargain bin, and we slapped it all together, and none of it made sense.
It was more Netflix and less Oscars, but not 2017 Oscars, because people got robbed, and it was boring as fuck, and Chalamet should have won. Chalamet should have won for Call Me By Your Name, which literally, I think my soul is still has been sitting in purgatory this entire time as I contemplate the nature of young love and what happens when it inevitably turns on you and then it rots in your core for all time. So back to Drag Race.
I was having a moment of silence for your young love destroyed.
Well, you know what? Let's bring back Morgan McMichaels, who looks like a fishier version of Lestat. And and not to say that I wouldn't, the part of me that wants to live the rock and roll lifestyle and do lots of drugs would totally want to date Morgan McMichaels. I mean, she probably cut me on her cheekbones every time I tried to go in for a kiss. But, you know, sometimes love hurts. Love should never hurt. And if you or a loved one is being harmed day after day from someone who has gone above and beyond plastic surgery limitations and requirements, please call a helpline. I'm not going to say which one. We all know the one.
But Morgan is back.
Mm-hmm. And then she wins the opportunity. She is herself
gifted.
I'm sorry.
As a welcome back gift. She didn't win nothing.
Welcome.
She still hasn't
back.
Won nothing. She's
your
gifted.
Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back. Though the names have all changed since you hung around. But those dreams. I'm sorry. Who'd have thought they lead you? Who'd have thought they lead back where? Back there where they need you. There we go. It's been a minute since I've watched old Nikki at Night.
Oh, I miss when Nikki at Night was like shows from the 70s or 60s. Mm-hmm. Now it's like the George Lopez show and How I Met Your Mother. And I'm like, that's too soon. That's too recent.
Girl, just bring me back my I Love Lucy's.
Oh, My Three Sons.
Oh, you know what? The furthest we'll go, we'll let you do Night Court. I wasn't a fan.
Oh, I loved Night Court.
I wasn't a fan. But if Nikki at Night could give me like Married with Children all day, every day, I would.
I could see that. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. Like I think Golden Girls, I'll pass on Empty Nest. They can try a season or two.
Oh.
It's not that it wasn't good. It's that Empty Nest doesn't hold up. It's why you always see the Golden Girls, because it's still very apt. and Empty Nest was just, look at this crazy neighbor comedy. Instead of having the focus on these, like, four women living in Miami is nice. Miami is nice. Miami is nice. So I'll say it thrice. Nothing seems organic. Because in the earlier seasons, and even in like recent past seasons, when queens kind of blow up at each other, like you feel like, yes, they got pushed to do it. But, you know, you still feel that sort of tension. And you know what it is? They got rid of Milk. They got rid of Milk,
you
and
know
nobody
what it is?
Had somebody to kick.
I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you why it feels different in All-Stars versus like a regular season. In a regular season, these queens don't necessarily know each other or may not have worked together as much. So they are relative strangers.
That's true.
So if something happens, if you don't know somebody that well and they do something that irks you, you may hold it in, and then you may blow up at them. And then you have what feels like more organic drama because these queens aren't really friends. Some maybe, but they don't have that same dynamic.
Yeah.
On an All-Star season, these queens have known each other. They have worked together. They have been through this process, some of them together on the same season.
True.
So when you, aside from like the Milk Kennedy drama of like, well, we worked together. I can't believe she didn't come and talk to me first, which seemed natural. Mm-hmm. The rest of it, like if you have a problem, these girls know each other. These girls talk to each other. More than likely, you are going to have queens go and have a conversation with each other and be able to work out an issue.
Yeah.
But you either have somebody like a Shangela who knows how to work it for a camera to make sure them red lights are pointed at her, or the producer's going, oh, well, Milk looks rather upset for being safe. Why don't you ask her what she's feeling? And then it really just feels like very forced, produced drama.
True.
Kind of like the drama at the beginning of the episode where they're all sitting down after they talk about Ben's eliminating herself and BB won't show the lipstick. And it's just kind of weird because it's like they've done all this. They, you know, every single week, no matter how tough it's been, even when the other queen that didn't win the lip sync had the lipstick of the person that was still there and it felt awkward, but it was like, okay, you know, whatever. And then BB's like, oh, I'm not going to, out of respect for Dela and for the rest of the queens, I'm not going to show who I would bring back and who I would have eliminated. And it's like, I mean, whether or not BB's the mole, whether or not any of that, you kind of almost feel like she was coached into like, oh, okay, don't do this. Or don't, you know, kind of buck this trend where everybody else is kind of like,
you made us do it.
Yeah. You'd be one of the first people sitting down there going, so who did you pick? Mm-hmm. So it feels very forced.
Well,
it does.
She's the mole. She's the mole.
Could I tell you, I still want that TV show to come back now.
I was just about to say it. As a child who was obsessed with where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Yes.
And then the cartoon, where in time is Carmen Sandiego? Carmen Sandiego, where on earth can she be? Then it was, where in time can she be? Or when in time can she be? When in time can she be? Deke. I don't know if it was Deke. It was probably Deke.
Probably. I think Deke had a hand in like all of those children's cartoon shows
with
at that point in time.
The best theme songs.
Yes.
The best. Now let's talk about the worst. So Morgan's dishing out these shitty ass roles and she gives herself the worst one, Beige Swan. And then we move to, girl, how you gonna do it? Oh, I wanted this. I guess I'll just stick with this. Oh, Trixie, which roles do you like? I like this one and this one. Here you go. Here's something that you didn't want. And then Trixie killed it in the challenge.
I know. It was a blessing in disguise for her because as Sharon Frockovich, she was insane.
Yes. And I've seen women like that. last night at a bar that I was at who came up to me and my friend. I wasn't the only black person there when I got there. But when she came up to me, the only other person across who was a man of color was a Dominican, which makes sense because there was like a Dominican bar like right behind us. He was very handsome. Anyway, I digress. Morgan McMichael's in the challenge. Oh, the reason why we haven't talked about the runway, because apparently it's not fucking important. And I don't even know what the theme was.
Well, we haven't gotten there yet.
No.
We haven't. We have to talk about the 5 minutes they took to show us this acting challenge.
Oh, my God.
So the roles are assigned. Like you had said, Morgan chose Beige Swan for herself, gave Kennedy Lala. Octavia went to Shangela. Bibi got the queen, even though she didn't understand why she got the part of somebody who was stuffy and full of herself. Although it reminded me of Kennedy's non-ability to see her own resting bitch face. So, I mean, it all fit.
You know, it reminded me of that episode of The Proud Family where Penny becomes Penne. And it's about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. Which was a mashup of like Toni Braxton and Beyonce.
And Trixie is Sharon Frockovich. So they spent like 5 minutes on showing us this acting challenge because apparently we got to see it all after the non-existent runway.
Uh-huh.
And it was fine. As you knew, Shangela was going to kill it. She acts. She's been on television. She's done all of that. Trixie was hilarious and did not have an issue with a coach. It was amazing. It was like the best thing I could have ever asked for. Kennedy? It wasn't horrible. It was just weird. BB was BB, but even softer. Like, it was even like more toned down BB than BB normally is. And then Morgan was quack, quack, quack.
Quack attack is back, Jack. She, you know what? The thing is, I can tell you where each of the queens went wrong.
They signed up for All Stars 3?
BB needed to be more. Because if she can play Diana Ross, who is literally the boss, she can be the queen. But she wasn't. When it comes to Kennedy, Kennedy should have gone old school Hollywood. Da 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 da. Cause it just.
She should have turned into Coco Montrese.
Yes. And then poor Morgan. I know I'm pretending like I didn't like her. It's not that I don't like her. It's just she. I think I've seen her perform. I think I've seen her perform at the defunct Mr. Sisters. I think I did. Don't quote, it was a long time ago and thousands of drinks ago. Tens of thousands of drinks ago.
I was going to say thousands would have just put you into last week.
Yeah. And so I know that she can kill it. I've seen videos where she kills it.
Absolutely.
But I don't know if she can do things on the fly. I think that she's biting, which I enjoy. I think that she gives fierce looks, which I'll never ding her for. Especially on the runway, she was my favorite.
Yeah. Oh, no. It was a gorgeous look.
Because she did look like Joan Crawford. And I dug it. I dug it. Absolutely ate it up with a spoon. But that character was... she just quacked at you. She fucking quacked at you. And, you know, I don't mean to detract from Trixie or Shangela, because, you know, those two bitches know how to put on a performance. But when the other three are so ho-hum, it irks you because each and every one of them you've seen just go above and beyond. And to falter like that, it's like you don't even, like, oh my gosh, we're in, like, the top, like, five. Like, we need to get there. Then act like you're in the fucking top five. Be cutthroat. And, you know, it's Yuriko Hara made a good point on the, like, pit stop thing that they did with Alaska. Like, you have to go big. You have to go big. If you don't go big, you go home. And even if everything about your runway, even if your challenge isn't bad, if you are middle of the road, that road takes you back to bumfuck east middle of nowhere where you're from. Not to say that those queens are from nowhere. Not to say that if you're in the middle of nowhere that you don't deserve to be acknowledged. Small Town Gay Bar is one of the best documentaries because it shines a light, shine a light, shine a light. Philadelphia freedom. I can bitch, oh, the bitch is back. Stone Cold Sober, as a matter of fact.
Lies. Lies. All lies.
You know what's not a lie? If my friend has already eaten dinner, I'm going to Popeye.
No, you're absolutely right. And it didn't help that really the writing, this entire thing was just horrible. Mm-hmm. Probably if Shangela's record dress, her disco dress, was the worst dress that has come across the stage on RuPaul's Drag Race, this challenge is the worst challenge I think I've ever seen on Drag Race. And that's saying something after whatever the Shakespeare challenge was, where Pearl walked into a fake shrub. Like, this was bad. This was really, really bad. Really bad.
You know what was really great, Nancy Pelosi?
Yes. I wish they would have done more with that.
But you know, Nancy Pelosi, a busy woman, literally fighting back the tire. She is at helm's deep, everyone. And the bomb has already gone off. And, like, the siege has now become a complete breach. And you're just fighting tooth and nail to midterms where maybe Gandalf the White will save you.
I absolutely agree. But I'm not saying that she had to stay for the whole episode. I'm just saying they could have done a little bit more. They could have done played off the Sharon Frockovich. Mm. They could have done something that was a bit more political minded.
And I think the reason why they didn't is because they've already kind of done that. But I mean, where you recycle your challenges every season and we all come back. We would riot in the streets if the library never opened and Snatch Game got canceled.
Exactly.
Riot in the streets.
Absolutely.
Oh, side note, a listener, after all these years, has finally started watching Drag Race with her gorgeous husband, who's a dream and a delight. I shall not use names because last time I did that, they were thinly veiled.
Schmaler Schmoss.
I remember that. But they have burned through. They started at season 6 and have burned through. They just finished season 8 in like a week and a half.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So, once again, Bob the Drag Queen.
Can she turn it?
She did.
I did appreciate the fact that the in-between deliberation skit wasn't so much a skit. And it was funny. They did, like, cute little things with it. But it really was talking about calling your representatives, how to find out, how to get in touch with who your representatives are. Exactly. I mean, we are such a connected society. And if you're watching, it's 99% chance that you have access to internet of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the website, plug in your zip code, and you can find all the information about who represents you and how to contact them.
You know, the person I want to represent me, I don't live in his district, but I am so tempted to move.
Who do you want representing you?
Carlos Guillermo Smith.
Oh.
I know him. He's, he's a funny man. 2, completely and utterly dedicated to righting wrongs. Like, there's an honest, this is not an endorsement, but there's like a genuineness. And so, as someone who has talked to, like, House representatives and congressmen since I've been in high school, because they are people, and we are their constituents because I was 18 at the time and I wasn't having any of his bullshit. Find out who your representatives are, and if they are pulling some shady shade, you call them out. You call them out. Or you give them kudos and tell them, keep up the good fight.
You know who I want representing me?
Who?
It'd be a big move. I'd have to go to Philly. Brian Sims.
Ooh.
Oh, girl. Oh, girl. He is amazingly, like, at the forefront of LGBT rights in the state house, and I absolutely commend him for it. And he's a sweetheart, and he is not hard on the eyes at all. I'm just saying. I love running. I literally, like, make it a point now every year when I go to Provincetown during Bear Week to make sure that I run into him and say hello to him at least once.
Oops, I'm so sorry. I stumbled over you. When RuPaul, I will to round back. Because we're almost there, folks. I promise. During that skit when he's like, oh, I've got, you know, Booker on the line, this and the other. And then right before they cut away, hello, Maxine? Like,
Reclaiming my time. Mm-hmm. Reclaiming my time.
That should be the caveat to this season. Reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time.
I just see Benda LaCrum sitting at home just going, reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time.
Can we get, I think it's the bitch track. I think maybe Adam Joseph did it. We'll search for it. We'll figure it out and we'll put it in the liner notes. But that, like, reclaiming my time, I think it must have been Adam Joseph. That bitch track. Where that poor stooge of a man stood up there trying to sugarcoat her and blow smoke. And she's like, please remind the gentleman that when it is my time, it is metered and reclaiming my time. Reclaiming. Ooh, it's something you can bop to.
I love it. So before we get to actually see the final product of this weird teaser trailer of a thing, we have another sneeze and you miss it runway where they are red for filth. And
was that the challenge?
That was the theme. Red for filth. It's because it's a take on Alaska's perfume challenge. At this point, RuPaul is just loving the show. This show is just made for her to be able to claim intellectual property and steal every single bit of, like, funniness or cleverness that comes out of these seasons, because that was Alaska's perfume when they had the challenge. She's red for filth. Are you red? E for me. And this, it was a cute runway. I mean, they didn't show a lot of it.
No.
And I love that on VH1.com, under deleted scenes, it's the runway. Like, it's the damn runway.
I don't think anybody looked bad.
No. No, this was actually, from an aesthetic standpoint, this was a flawless runway.
But nobody cared because they only showed 38 nanoseconds.
But BB's whole look with her face mask and her outfit, and for as much as I may not care for BB this season, that look was fantastic. Shangela had the big pointy inflatable dress that actually looked kind of cute with the points deflated, because they showed her what during the critiques and they were deflated, and I was like, it almost kind of looked fringy.
Yeah,
and it was cute, and it had the gimmick of inflating and into these giant points.
Uh-huh.
Trixie in that latex, like, bikini bathing suitish bottom with the white top and the books and the apple, I thought it was cute as fuck.
Yeah.
Morgan's Scottish with the big looped hairdo, like Joan Crawford. Rue said it was very
Meet Me in St. Louis.
Meet Me in St. Louis. Like, it all just, it worked. It was phenomenal. compared to her first look on the first episode with that wig that kept trying to run away from her.
Why are you mad? Why are you mad? Because you look terrible. That's why I'm mad.
Because your wig is running away from you. I can't deal with it.
What I will say, the only ding I have for Trixie is that school teacher vibe looks kind of familiar. Kind of looks like IQ Kitty. Look.
It's it. The glasses. It was the glasses. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because she used those same type of round glasses in the previous challenge.
Yeah.
So I get it. However, I love the play on red.
Yes.
Because it's the outfit had red, but she used books and red the other way.
Yes. It was smart.
And red for filth, you know, like it all library, it works.
That's why that's the only thing I have.
Yeah. No, no, no. And I thought the same thing because I was like, that what? Oh, yeah. 2 weeks in a row with those glasses. Mm-hmm. But she used a red lip. It was the first time in a long time that any other color besides pink was on those lips.
Uh-huh.
And she looked good.
She looked good.
And then Kennedy was pageanted out. She looked great. You know, I'm not Kennedy's number one fan. But that bitch worked it, and she looked fantastic on the runway.
Agreed.
And then that led into my best girlfriend's drag maid's wedding trip. I don't know. Who fucking knows? If anybody out there can say that without...
Who fucking cares?
Well, yeah.
Who cares? Nobody.
No. Again, what you saw in the rehearsals was basically what translated to the final product. Shangela, fantastic. Trixie, amazing. The rest of them, and we move on.
Uh-huh.
So, as you can tell, who were the tops?
Trixie and Shangela.
Of course, because, I mean, if they weren't, I would have called chicanery and rigor mortis.
Yeah. And then we move into the, ooh, girl, let me talk to you. Ooh, girl, why do you think? Which is, it was so dull.
The deliberations were nowhere any, like, the actual deliberations, the conversations were nothing. The best parts of that entire scene, let's run these down. When Trixie was talking to BB, talking about how gorgeous her face was, and if her face looked like that, she wouldn't keep it covered.
Uh-huh.
And then she said, "You look like Ornacia." And then BB's like, "Who?" And they were like, "Bitch, have you not watched this show?" She's like, "No."
It's like a Mimi.
The Kennedy's Mimi. And I love the fact that they were all like, ha ha, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, it was just like the record just scratched. And they're like, who? Oh, you mean a meme?
Yeah, that.
The Trixie going, you got BB who's never watched Drag Race, and Kennedy who doesn't know what a meme is. Winning the crown is the only way to get out of this alive. Sure. Like, that was that part. And then Trixie going, all right, who wants to go sit on a couch and potentially cry? And then when she and BB sat down, she go, okay, so why did you mess this challenge up?
Yeah.
And like there was just, it was like more funny one-liners and less drama. And I actually enjoyed that. The conversations are the conversation. Shangela has her game plan. She already knows what the fuck is up. She knows she's not going to send Kennedy home. And at this point, they have an idea. Like, I'm pretty sure when you're down to this number of people, you kind of know who you're going to send home.
Agreed.
You've been working with them through this challenge. You know who you're going to send home.
Mm-hmm.
So these conversations just really don't mean anything.
They're a moot point, like this entire fucking episode.
So we go out to the runway for the lip sync.
Where they do a lip sync to RuPaul's Freaky Money.
Featuring Big Frida.
Big Frida. Who was I think Big Frida's coming to town. I don't know if I missed it.
No, I think you missed it. She was at Will's Pub.
Which is a strange venue, but
yes, because we've had Big Frida at Parliament during Gay Days last year or 2 years ago, something like that. They had Big Frida for Hip Hop Tuesday, the Tuesday night of Gay Days week. And then I think it was just a couple of months ago. It was Big Frida at Will's Pub, and I was like, really?
Yeah.
Of all places?
And I thought to myself, I'm like, I would have gone, but I think I ended up having to work. One, and two, I'm like, she probably just staying with somebody down the street and around the corner, and they're like, I just need some, let me make some cash while I'm here, a little spending money. Can we talk about something that is near and dear to old school listeners of Flame On.
Sure.
And our anniversary is coming up. You know, our anniversary is coming up. Our friendiversary.
Oh.
Because it's gay day.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So the reason why I'm going to Popeyes, this all makes sense. The reason why I'm going to Popeyes is because this is literally the last, like, bad meal I can have. Because I plan on tearing it up during gay days. Also, it might be next year, they're not going to be at the host hotel.
No, and it might be a completely different weekend.
Yeah, what is gay days if it's not the last week in May, the first week in June, at the Doubletree, where you park across the street at night, only at night.
You don't want to be towed by the Village Inn.
Uh-huh. And you walk over and you drink and you have fun. I want to state for the record, I have never had sex in that hotel at any given time. Because I have been there multiple times because that used to be the MegaCon host hotel as well.
Yes.
So.
What about outside of the hotel rooms but still on the ground?
No, sorry. I had to think about that. I have never. But I guarantee you this, I refuse to leave that establishment this year. Mama, don't listen to this. I refuse to leave this establishment. Also, future employers, don't listen to this. I refuse to leave this establishment without having at least 5 orgies.
That sounds reasonable.
At least 5. So that means single, one-on-ones don't count, threesomes don't count, foursomes will count because we'll call them 4G and it's waffling.
Does somebody have dreads and play the violin?
Yeah. So, you know, once again, listeners, I would like to apologize, not because I'm drunk, but because we have literally, how dare you? Was that the dog?
That was the dog.
Okay.
Even Havoc is calling you out.
Yeah, I thought so. How dare you? That's why you're not my favorite. That's why your sister's better than you. But you are, Blanche. Yeah. If you haven't seen Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, I highly recommend it. It is Hollywood craftsmanship at its finest. Pat, take it away.
All right. So Freaky Money is the lip sync. Shangela and Trixie come out. Trixie makes it clear that she is not known as a lip sync assassin on this show, but she is going to give it her all. And Shangela, we all know Shangie can rock it. Mm-hmm. So the song starts. Shangela takes off her muumuu to reveal a fat suit. Trixie's in a cat suit.
What? And she looks snatched.
I loved it. Mm-hmm. And with that kind of like, Neon lime green. Acid, yeah. Like it felt very Aja. It felt very Aja mixed
and acid
with
Acid Betty.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
But not in a bad way.
No. No. All the best qualities of the two of them. She looked fantastic. I think she did a good job with the song.
Agreed.
For it not really being like a song that you would expect Trixie to perform. Mm-hmm. I think she did an admirable job. Shangela was going to take the lip sync regardless. I mean, just in pure lip syncing chops.
And comedy aspect. That was probably one of the funniest lip syncs, I would say, for Drag Race. Because not like it's, and thus it reached Mount Olympus. But it's like somewhere in the middle where you're like, ooh, you know, we'll just call you a demigod.
Well, and we'll address this. Because that lip sync sparked a lot of conversation.
Yes, I imagine.
And I'll say this. I like to think I'm fairly level-headed. I like to think that, for the most part, I don't jump to an extreme one way or the other. I will say I didn't love it. I didn't love the use of the fat suit. I'm a heavy-set guy. Like, I'm fat. Let's just put it that way. You know, I'm not a small dude.
And I used to be big-boned in.
Now you just bone big. I don't know. I feel bad about myself now.
No.
But
You gave it a try.
I
and
tried.
That's all that matters.
I tried.
Isn't that what Richard Simmons said to me every time I played that tape all through that summer between sophomore year and junior year in high school? You laugh, but Richard Simmons has helped millions of Americans, including myself, get down to pounds. And that summer, in conjunction with Atkins, I lost 50 pounds.
Hey, bitch, listen, we've talked about this. I know, and I giggle, but bitch, I applaud it.
If Richard Simmons came out of reclusivity with a new tape, bitch, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
I don't blame you. I probably would borrow it.
So I have always kind of been like my boss, Aaron, who's always kind of been like Oprah. We kind of yo-yo back and forth. That's an old joke, and I shouldn't have said it.
But I appreciate it, though, because our older listeners will absolutely understand Oprah and her yo-yo diets.
I've watched a lot of Oprah in my life, so I know what it's like to be big. At my most, I weighed 216, but I was also like 5'4".
Yeah.
So I get it. I get it. But as someone who still has that, like, mentality, I didn't personally take offense to it, but my experience in my life is not your experience in your life, and so I don't ding anybody for feeling any sort of way about it.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't sit there, when I watched it, I didn't sit there and find, like, a tremendous amount of outrage within myself. I watched it and was like, okay, like, you took the easy way out of doing this song, and you did it, not so much that you took the easy way out of for the song, but just you took the cheap and easy way for comedy. Mm. Like, had she just done a Nicki Minaj ass and, like, twerked it out and, like, really kind of accentuated that, I could have understood it. But when you...
I take offense to that. As a man with a big ass that you can set things on.
Bitch, do you know who you're talking to? Do you know who you're talking to? That one of the few spots where you can tell that I'm Puerto Rican is my ass. But I, like... It's a little different in that respect. Like if you're doing like if you're doing a song, like a twerkable song, and you come out there and you pad the fuck out of your ass, I get it. But when you come out in a Party City inflatable fat suit, I'm just kind of like, all right, I didn't find it funny. But I'm not going to sit there and rip Shangela to shreds and say, bitch, how could you ever do that? You are now problematic and I can't be a fan. Like, I don't. That's just not how people do stupid things. And if they have ill intent, then yes, I'm going to be upset and I'm going to be offended by it. But if you know that there's no ill intent, or they come out and either apologize or like explain kind of their mentality or their thought process on it, okay. And if you apologize and say, hey, I didn't mean to offend people, okay, good. I'm going to take you on that. You do it again, I'm going to realize that you're full of shit. But, you know, I just didn't find it funny. But you know who did?
RuPaul. And the thing is, I didn't take it as, like, she looked like Big Mama. Like, I took it as, oh, you know, here's Big Mama. Because she's in not a muumuu. White people call it a muumuu. That's a duster. She came out on Drag Race during a lip sync challenge in a duster and killed it. And that's what I found funny about it. It's like, you know, you see, you know, grandmother, we laugh at grandmothers who, you know, curse like sailors or, you know, drink. I heard this one story of a grandmother during a wedding that she had to cook for in Detroit. So, you know, they were real, real. And the morning of the wedding, she gave somebody $20 and said, go pick me up my Paul Malls. And go get me my ENJ, because I will not get through this day without it. And when she, like, when my friend showed me a picture, she looked like what Shangela looked like on the runway. It's, I guess, like I said, for experiences, like, it's different. I didn't think of her as, like, this young, like, stripper, like, just doing it for the dollars. I thought of her as, like, somebody's big mama. Who just got finished cooking collard greens with the ham hocks in it. Because if you don't have ham hocks in your collard greens, what you doing? What you doing? Just making kale? You're just making kale. But that's the way I took it. But like you said, to each their own.
Absolutely.
Also, RuPaul found it funny, and that's why she won. And then that bitch sent Morgan home because the curse is real.
Oh, yeah. I love how Morgan was like, I want to break the curse. It's already been broken, but then it got resealed again.
Uh-huh.
So it is what it is. And Morgan McMichaels goes home. It was funny as hell, though, when she went to go hug everybody. And it was either Shangela or one of the girls was like, oh, I don't know if you want to. And she's like, bitch, I'm not PP. I hug everybody. No! It's like, oh, I love it. But that leads us to our top four.
Top four, which are Trixie Mattel, Shangela, Bibi Zahara-Benet, and Kennedy Davenport, in no particular order.
And in the coming next portion of the show, which cut off on my DVR, had to watch it online because trying to find that shit.
How many commercials did you have to watch?
47. It felt like 4 million commercials to just get to this one little part. And it's going to be the largest choreographed performance piece that they have ever done, where they have to write lyrics and they're going to do a video. And if it can top Reggie Wrote You from All Stars 2, I will be amazed, because in my mind, that was probably the best song challenge they have ever done on this show in all 9 seasons and now almost 3 All-Star seasons. Reggie Wrote You still to this day is my favorite out of all those musical lyrics challenges. But the big twist is that the eliminated queens are sitting on a couch in the workroom with a throne empty, and they're all just salivating and just ready to rip into somebody. And this is the big gag of the season that we've all been waiting for.
Uh-huh.
Because the episode is, I believe, titled something along the line of A Jury of Her Queers or yep. something like that. And this is where we think they're going to do a Survivor-esque twist to the challenge and have the eliminated queens have a say in either naming the top two or picking the winner out of the top four. So it'll be interesting to see how these girls feel after everything has happened.
I can't wait for All-Star Season 4, where it's literally Thunderdome.
I'd be there for that.
Two queens enter, one queen leaves. And then she just keeps screaming at the camera, straight into the camera, and also Michelle Visage, Ross Matthews, and Carson Kressley. Bye to town. Listen to me. Where are you going to run to? Where are you going to go? Annie!
Oh, I love it. But that will be the finale. One of these four queens will be inducted into the Drag Race Hall of Fame.
And the rest of us will finally get back to the real winner of Drag Race. Seasons, tens, tens, tens across the board. Listeners, if you want to follow us 24/7, you can follow us on social media. We're on Facebook at Flame On, Twitter at Flame On Podcast. We're also on Instagram, probably the same thing as
Flame On Show.
There you go.
Everything is Flame On Show except for Twitter, which is Flame On Podcast. You can just go to flameonshow.com and you can get a lot of our stuff there. You can follow us on all the socials. And things you probably didn't even realize that we're on.
Mm-hmm. We're on Podchaser. Ding. Apple Podcasts. We're on Stitcher. And if you're like what we're doing here, you can go to patreon.com/nerdyshow to support the Nerdy Show Network. But if you want to earmark certain dollars for us and only us, you can totally put that in a note and it'll come straight to us. And every dime, let's be real, every penny, and let's not be desperate, every nickel is appreciated. So with that, listeners, we'll be back next week for, thank God, thank the gods. Remember the Glamazon season? I'm just, where they're all like Greek gods. I'm thanking that season. Thanking the Glamazon season.
Oh, season 5.
Mm-hmm. We will have our final recap, but you know we'll be back for that first opening episode of Drag Race season 10. 10. 10s across the board. So, with that, later.